T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to Sports Daily. Bruce Hurdle, Paul Savage with you. Another hour here on a Thursday morning, enjoying this time about sports and also keeping an eye on the weather. Got to keep an eye on the weather. Be safe. Please make sure that you do not drive through moving water. All those kind of things that your mom and dad taught you, make sure you take care today, particularly if the weather gets
bad. Yeah, and while you're at it, Paul, some thoughts passed along to our friends in Missouri, especially in Jefferson City, the capital of Missouri, where a tornado pounded them last night or yesterday, and people trapped under debris and loss of life. And we obviously can relate and understand, and our hearts go out to them. And people in Oklahoma, I mean, everybody in this region is really suffering from it when it gets to the point where, material we can all figure out, but loss of life and things of that nature, injuries, those are the times when we really need to pull together and send our best along and in whatever way that we possibly can to help people. So my hearts should go out to the folks in Jefferson City over in Missouri, which is the hometown, of course, of our Paul Miller, former Wichita State basketball great. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Yeah. Well said. Thank you.
Anyway, yeah. So off we go into hour number two, Royals and the Cardinals. You know, I pay attention, and I know you do too, to the Royals anyway. I mean, they're right up the road, and we pay attention to them, good, bad, indifferent. Doesn't make any difference. That's what we do. But when they're playing the Cardinals and it's a little battle in the show-me state and all of those things are going on, we're a little bit more inclined to lock in. And the Royals won an easy one yesterday, and the Cardinals won an easy one yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting. You know, the Royals, for as bad as they've been, and Shane and I have talked about this a lot, Jacob and I talked about it earlier this week, are better than their record indicates. And there's a lot of things that they do well. They look good in that 8-2 game, look bad in the 10-3 loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it still simply boils down to pitching with regards to the Royals.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we talked about the first week of the season, if you remember correctly, and nothing has really changed. I mean, I guess it's gotten a little better. At least, you know, if you're a Royals fan, there's a little solace in the fact that you're not the worst team in Major League Baseball, and I guess that's something to shoot for, crawl up the ladder a little bit, but it still comes down to pitching, doesn't it? I mean, therein lies the problem.
Yeah, sure does.
I mean,
right.
Manufacturing runs, it's a good team. I'm not going to say they're Yankee caliber. And by the way, Yankees crawling back with guys getting healthy. My goodness, if that whole team gets healthy, how good will it be, Paul? Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that. Okay, the Red Sox are better than they were the first couple of weeks of the season.
Thank
two.
You. Now, well, now at least you've allowed that. Thank
you
very
go.
Much.
They are better.
Does it make me feel better? Well, I don't know if it makes me feel better, because I agree with you. The Yankees, I think, are establishing themselves now as the clear team to beat. Tampa has had its early start, and now they've planed off a little bit. Red Sox are coming. They're playing well. I said this earlier in the season when the Red Sox were starting poorly. My question anytime that anyone brought it up to me is, how far are they behind the Yankees?
Mm-hmm.
Now you know why.
Yeah.
It's the Yankees have risen to that level, and it will be, I think, when all is said and done, it'll be the Yankees and the Red Sox battling in the American League East. The loser of that battle will likely get a wild card. Likely, mm-hmm. not automatically,
oh,
but likely
you.
Will get a wild card.
Yeah, sure.
And then we'll go from there. So that's kind of where we're at this particular point. But no, I don't begrudge the Yankees. I understand it. They bought a good team, and that's where they are at this point.
Well, they always buy a good team. I mean, the question is putting it together and making it healthy and making it to a point where it can show up and play as a group together and not have guys on it. But let's face it, there was a time there earlier in the season. My gosh, what was it? 10 or 15 of key guys? Probably at least a dozen.
Yeah, they had
like
12 guys on the injured list all at the same time.
Yeah, at the same time. And we're talking key guys. We're not talking about subs. We're talking about key individuals, yes.
No, you're absolutely right. And, Paul, you bring up a good point, and I applaud you for this. Only Baltimore and Miami have worse records. Now, the Kansas City, 17-32, 7-17 on the road. But there are 8 teams in baseball with worse run differentials. Run differentials now, the difference between how many runs you score, how many runs you allow, a much stronger metric than it used to be. It's a good one to gauge for where teams are and where their middle watermark is, kind of. More than anything, and the Royals have backed up a little bit in this regard, but there are still 8 teams worse in Major League Baseball, and some pretty good ones, by the way, the Nationals, some others, that have worse run differentials than the Royals, which means exactly what you have been talking about. They're scoring runs. They're scoring runs, enough runs that they should be, record-wise, a better team than they are. Like, maybe they should be 22-28 at this point. 6 games under 500 instead of sitting there now at 15 games under 500, for instance, something like that. So I think that they're a better team than their record indicates. Their run differential would agree with that. You are exactly right. It's not just their pitching. It's all elements of their pitching.
Right.
Starting pitching, although Brad Keller was really good yesterday. Although, Paul, you know, I applaud a guy for going 7 innings and only allowing 2 hits. And for most people, that would be the end of the conversation. But he did walk 4. He threw 106 total pitches and had only 64 strikes. That's not a great ratio. And he had guys on base. Now, the difference is that, you know, Jorge Soler hits a 3-run homer.
Right.
The top of the lineup goes 6 of 16. The top 4 in the lineup went 6 of 16, scored 6 times. So he was pitching in clean air most of the game, and he wasn't in real danger. But those are numbers that have got to get better. He's got to throw more strikes. He's got to pitch to contact better. He only allowed 2 hits, and I know that people will get on me for that. That's fine. But you don't want to walk as many guys as you're walking. You don't want to go as deep in the count as you're going. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. And then in game 2, the Cardinals go up 5-0 after 2 on Homer Bailey. All of a sudden, the Royals pitching can't keep the ball in the park. Cardinals hit like 4 home runs and a whole bunch of pitchers. I think 7 different guys threw. But to their credit, because of their offense, they were still in the game in the 6th when Dexter Fowler hit the home run to make it 6-3.
Right.
So, all in all, a split, but at least they were still competitive going to the 6th inning of the 2nd game. So I don't know what to make of the Royals. I think we talk enough about them that we understand what they are. They've got some nice pieces in the lineup. First 5 guys in the lineup can hurt you. For the Royals, their starting pitching is suspect, their relief pitching is worse, and that's really why, at this particular point, they're sitting there at 17-32.
Yeah, there's and earlier, particularly earlier in the year, how many games, let's say, going into the seventh or eighth inning, where the Royals leading, and then, of course, that the lead is given up for a loss, and it was a lot. It seems like it was a real theme for a while. But Brad Keller is a perfect example of what you just said, and that is that, you know, is he a good pitcher? Yes, he's a good pitcher, and he can be productive on any staff, and yet here he is struggling, and he's not winning. Part of the reason is not all of his fault, but part of it is you know, you get into the later innings, and some of these guys are taking losses based upon the relief
or no decisions. Leave with the lead, and there then the bullpen gives it back.
Right,
that has certainly happened.
But
no,
this
question
is a team that is capable. I mean, if you shore up a few positions, this is a team that's capable of playing 500 baseball, because right now they're way under 500. I mean, they're literally, what, 350, something like that, in terms of know, winning percentage, and that's
like 354 or something
I mean, it's not very good at all. But I mean,
They're on a pace to lose like 107, Paul. Well, they only lost 104 last year only.
Well, that's right. It's one of those things where, you know, where have you been? Where are you going? I mean, you know, it makes you shake your head. And I just hope that around here we have lost to a certain extent, you know, the buzz, the Kansas City Royals.
Well, yeah, but I think it's
buzz.
A different thing, don't you? Don't you think Royals fans are generally – I'm going to give them credit here. I think Royals fans are generally a well-educated lot that don't get ahead of themselves and aren't unrealistic. I think that they understand that it's a process when you're in a market like Kansas City and you can't just go out and buy players. You've got to be much more judicious about how you use your money. And I think that Royals fans get three-year rebuilds. I think they understand it. And so I think that they generally regard this year as, what do we have? What do we move forward with that we can count on? What kind of foundation is being laid? And can we this time next year count on being relevant? No, competitive. Competitive. I think you can make the argument that they're competitive a good portion of the time right now, but can they be more consistently competitive? Can they scare 75 maybe next year, 78? And then the year after that, you hope that pieces start to come together. They've got pitching in their lower levels. The problem is it's not even at the AA level. It's certainly not at the AAA level. It's more at the high A level. So how quickly can you move that along? They drafted very mature pitchers last year, guys that are pitching well in the lower levels of minor league baseball. Can those guys mature? Can you get one or two of those guys that maybe you can count on coming up? And then maybe you can seed your bullpen a little bit. But I think it's going to take 2 years for them to rebuild their pitching. I really do.
Right.
I think it's going to take 2 years.
You have nailed it for me, my friend, and I want to tell you how, and that is, right, you're looking at, say, a three-year rebuild program that you take a section here and a section there and you try to improve. And look at the start. Let's say the first 5 to 6 spots in the lineup. Well, you got that rebuilt. I mean, there's no problem.
That's taken care of.
And you know something?
That's taken care of.
How big a part is that? That's a big part.
Huge.
That's a huge part, because you're scoring runs and you're getting a lot accomplished with that part of the lineup. And there was some real problems, and there could have been a lot of problems into the future, but this has been taken care of. So now you shore up pitching, which starting pitching, I know that it's had issues, but there's still a certain amount of potential. Even like a guy like Brad Keller, I think there is potential there to be a good, serviceable, you know, starter in a lineup. Is he going to be a Clayton Kershaw? Well, probably
no.
But I mean, is he a serviceable starter? Yes. The answer is yes. And the Royals, once you start shoring up that, and I think that part is probably further along than the bullpen at this point, obviously, but
I would agree with you.
You have given me solace to a certain extent with the three-year rebuild program. I understand. But
I think Royals fans get it.
Yeah.
I really do. I think Royals fans who understand it and have been with this and have stuck with this, they understand it. Of course, part of the thing that keeps them going is the fact that they've seen it before. They've seen it work. They saw it produce a couple of trips to the World Series. They saw it produce a championship. That's huge. And what it does is it buys you credibility and with credibility comes patience.
Yeah. This isn't the
Yankees. So that's where I think Royals fans are.
Yeah, this isn't the Yankees we're talking about that can literally buy yourself a new team every 3 to 5 years, which we have seen the Yankees and, dare I say, the Red Sox on an occasion.
Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers,
these
Cubs.
These are all teams that have spent huge sums of money to stay relevant. Cardinals, to a certain extent. I mean, we've seen this happen, but the Dodgers.
Cardinals not as bad as the four others, though.
No, but
those are the ones that are really spending money.
Dodgers lately. I mean, particularly in the last 2-3 years. But you can't do that if you're a Kansas City franchise in the city of Kansas City. That doesn't work. You just can't do that. So I get that. But I feel better about the whole situation. With this conversation, because the Kansas City Royals, I think it's like plan your work and work your plan. Gosh, have you ever heard me say that before? But this is sort of what they're doing. I mean, Kansas City has that plan. And why I'm so optimistic after this conversation is part of that plan is in effect, and it's in full force and effect, and we're seeing the results of that, particularly with the upfront part of this lineup. So there you go.
Absolutely.
You've made me feel better.
Baby steps. Real quickly, the Shockers take on UConn today, second round of the American Athletic Conference tournament. What do we make out of this? Let's go, Shockers. Let's go pick up a win.
Let's go get a win. How about a conference championship? I think that at this point, I think, come on. I know that
I'm with you.
That's the way I'm thinking. I'm sure that's the way Todd Butler and Mike Pelfrey and everybody on that staff and everybody on that team are thinking. Why not? Go get a win. It's a few games. Go win a few games. By the weekend, you're playing for a championship. Why not? I mean, this is what you're due for. That's why you went. Isn't that why you went to Wichita State? I mean, even to this very day, you go to Wichita State with expectations of playing in championship games and playing in regionals and playing in worlds. That's why you go to Wichita State.
Is that it now?
Yeah, you still do. You still do. Huh. And it's sold to you. I'm sure that's part of the sales shtick is to, you're going to – this is Wichita State, and I would buy that. But come on, let's go, Shockers. I mean, we had a conversation yesterday. Don't make me have to come back and readdress this next week with disappointment, please. I do not want to do that. We held back a little, didn't we? I felt us holding back. I got accused a couple of times of holding back yesterday after the radio show as I'm out and about and speaking with people. You didn't say it, did you, Savage? Well, I kind of said it. And you know what it is, don't you? I know you know what it is.
Well, sure. We talked about it yesterday.
Yeah,
and we're talking about the future of Todd Butler as the coach at Wichita State. Look, they play UConn today, and this is where we are. I mean, Darren Boatwright will judge where the program is and where it needs to go moving forward, and I believe that he'll make the right decision for whatever needs to happen in the baseball program. They're facing a team in UConn that they played two relatively close games with and lost 4-0 and 2-1, and then pounded 12-5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that wasn't that long ago. That was just a couple, 2-3 weeks ago, and I believe
that was at the beginning of May.
Yeah, beginning of May. That's right.
At UConn. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. But they're clearly playing better baseball right now. And when you win, what have they won now? They've won 4 of their last 5, I think, by my count, right?
I believe that is.
Yeah, 4 of their last 5.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They've won 4 of their last 5. Two of those wins have come against East Carolina, ranked team. If you push it out to 5 of the last 8, and then 6 of 9, 7 of 10, 7 of 11. So they're actually playing decent baseball right now. They're 7 and 4 in their last 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those wins came against UConn. Mm-hmm. I guess they're capable. Well, you don't beat the nation's eighth or ninth ranked team and not be capable. So why in the world can't you go beat UConn today?
Let me take it one step further. Not only that, you beat East Carolina, one of the best teams in the nation, two out of three of the last three games that you've played with them. I mean, come on, what's that all about? If you can do that, then you can make a run through this tournament. I mean, and that's what we're looking for. That's Wichita State baseball. I'm just going to say this. That's what we expect. We shouldn't be even having conversations about this. If you're going to be Wichita State and you're going to play at Wichita State and you're going to play baseball there, then this is what you do. You win those kind of games. You win these kind of tournaments. And if you can beat East Carolina two out of the last three times that you've played them, and that's just over the course of the last few weeks, then you can win this tournament.
I mean, am I out of line? No. And you are, you know, I'll accuse you every now and then of blowing a little sunshine up at people's backside, but I'm going to say this. I think you're right.
Yeah. I think I am too.
If you've beaten East Carolina two of the last three times, or two out of three in the last week and a half, essentially, or week, why the hell not?
Yeah. Bingo.
I'm with you, Paul.
There you go.
By the way, 2 o'clock today, American AAC tournament. Mike Kennedy, the voice of the Shockers, with the call, 97.5, 1240 a.m. So find that on KNSS. We'll continue here in just a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.